Motion pictures, can't get enough. Cinephile, movie lover, and a big movie buff. Talking to actors, directors, innovators, athletes to writers, real trailblazers. Yeah, originator, not a duplicator. So honest, always authentic. Tune in, trust me, you don't want to miss it. This is the Monday Morning Critic. Amazing life journeys, great interviews from sports analysts, even reporters too. Captivating, always top content, bringing top quality, everybody's talking. Yeah, originator, not a duplicator. So passionate and so authentic. Tune in, trust me, you don't want to miss it. This is the Monday Morning Critic. Woo!
Approach, Nabila.
I'm fine where I am.
Sheba likes you.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Tell me what you found.
You're not gonna like it.
I like waiting to hear bad news less.
We got a little problem that could turn into a big problem inside of a week. Most of the plants down there, they got weevils. We have to cut and burn everything before the weevils get to the main crops in the courtyard. I know the royal garden is important to you. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Nabila. Do what must be done.
Here's the beautiful thing, Your Majesty. You can tear it out and cut it down. You can burn it and throw it all away. But if you want, it can all grow back. Okay, I think I just pissed myself. I'm gonna go.
Welcome to episode 104. Today's guest is an actor who's been in such wonderful TV shows as Better Call Saul, The Walking Dead as Nabila. She's been in theater and television. Just a great actor. Her name is Nadine Marissa. Nadine, thanks for coming on the Monday Morning Critic today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. I am blessed to have. So I have to say, so I'm rewatching the scene that when you said that you pissed yourself, I pissed myself laughing at you saying you pissed yourself.
You know, that is probably the line that no matter where I go and what I do, people are always asking for that line. If I'm signing something, they're always asking for me to sign that line. So I understand.
So, but let me just say, but. Like, I love the line. I obviously laugh my ass off. But here's what I noticed about it. Like, you have a beautiful look to you, but you have, like, an awesome, like, narrator's voice. You have a wonderful, like, voice that I could see you in, like, in a Disney movie. You know what I'm saying? Just doing anime. Like, I was just taken back by your voice. I was like, wow.
Thank you. Hopefully Disney hears you and will put me to work.
and don't get me wrong, you're beautiful, but you know how sometimes you hear a voice that's just very unique to like animation? I'm like, my God, like she could, I could see her doing this, because when you're having this dialogue with Ezekiel, I'm like, geez, I mean, it's like a very distinct, clear voice that I think big things are ahead in that arena for you.
Thank you. That's the world of theater, is you learn how to place your voice in all these different places, and they go high and they go low and all this other stuff. So that's my theater world that's coming out.
So yeah, and you mentioned theater, and a lot of your theater was in Texas. Am I correct with that?
Was a lot of my theater is in Texas. Yeah, it was in Texas. Yeah, probably like the Dallas Fort Worth area.
And one of the things, Nadine, that I've learned, you know, I've had many guests, you know, that are known for their theater work, was just I never knew this a year ago, 2 years ago, whenever I started, but it's amazing what actors, how much the theater, and I know this to be like a master of the obvious question, but how much it means to them. Like, theater is, to many actors, is very, very, almost like vital. Is that an over-the-top word?
No, I think you're right with that. It is very vital. It's weird. It's before television in movies, theater was probably like the place where you can be the freest. And I always say the most fun comes on stage, because people can judge Nadine all they want, but on stage they don't judge. They're judging your character, and you get to watch people's faces light up and see who they love, and if you're a bad character that they love or a good character. You kind of get that instant gratification. And if you can do that, I think it's harder to do it in person. On film and television, I have a couple takes. If someone doesn't like something, I can just do it again. But on stage, you only have one chance to make that impression. So you have to be as focused and as giving to your audience as you can be. So I think it is very vital. To me, it is. I know some actors who haven't done theater and go on to do amazing things. But for me, theater is always like a safe space for me. So, yeah, that was very vital.
See, and I probably said this 1,000 times. For me, theater is like stand-up comedy, right? So you're out there alone and there's no, like, retake. It's just, it's an island to me, and it seems like, I don't know how you guys do it. I'm just so impressed by it.
Oh yeah, I absolutely love theater. Live theater, absolutely love it. Yeah.
No, are you from an acting family? I thought I read, if I didn't, I apologize, that your mom was involved in acting.
My mom was a theater baby as well. My mom did theater back when there's a theater called the Alley in Houston. Back when the Alley was in a house. My mom did theater then, so I definitely, and she's so animated now that I definitely got that gene from her. I definitely did.
So do you ever talk shop with her? So are there scenarios you can run by her, because she has that knowledge, right? Because let's face it, a lot of the actors I interview, their parents are not from the world of acting. They're not from the world of, you know, television or you know, the big screen. Are there days where you look at mom and say, you know, hey, how would you approach this, or how would you do that?
There are days that I do ask her to check out something and see if things are too big or too small, or if she's understanding what I'm feeling. But I once learned, I once went to New York and took a trip and ran across an actress who told me, you never ask someone how you did, because they don't know the process of what you were trying to give, nor do they know what, you know, what actions you've given that character, or what you wanted to portray with that character. And they can only put on your character what they would do, what their life experiences have taught them. So I'm always really funny about asking people what they think about stuff. But I think I probably more soak into my mom for like life lessons. That's the woman that seems to know everything about everything.
Right.
Like, mom was probably the go-to for that, yeah.
I know you have one child. Now, is that child old enough to watch The Walking Dead and see mom on the small screen? I hope I have that right, too.
Yeah, he's 14.
Oh, okay, great, perfect.
You did your homework, you did. You did, I'm impressed. Yeah, he's 14. He does watch, we've actually been, like, binge-watching, going back and binge-watching so much stuff together. And so he was excited period for me to be on the show, but he's we're in teenage years now, so I'm not really cool right now. I'm not like the coolest person.
What?
No, teenage years is like, yeah, whatever, you know.
I'm gonna, if mom can't be cool being on The Walking Dead and Better Call Saul, I mean, what's he waiting for?
I don't know. I'm not a basketball player, and I think if I was, then I'd probably. Yeah, he's a sports rookie, so yeah.
I got you. So, and I have to say, you know, I was doing a little bit, reading some of your Twitter. You're a big Steel Magnolias fan.
Oh, I am. Oh, yeah. I am such a big Steel Magnolias. I'm a sappy movie person anyway. I cry all the time at anything that's moving. That's just me.
Nadine, throw a couple more. Like, I tell people, like, I've had directors and actors, and I tell them, like, I watch their movies like 50, 100, 200 times. Like, they don't believe me, but I'm being, like, legitimate. Like, I definitely watch them that many times. Like, is there a movie that, like, outside of Steel Magnolias, that a sappy one that you're a sucker for?
Well, I don't know if it's sappy, but my absolute favorite movie, and I know this sounds crazy, is Armageddon. I absolutely love that movie. Watched it, like, I can't even tell you how many times I've watched that movie. And I always cry at the same part. And my son's always like, you're going to cry. I'm a daddy's girl. So when she's like leaning on the TV screen and she, and he's like, Gracie, I got to go. And she's like, Daddy, no. Every single time I lose it.
I love that you're such a movie buff. Like, I love that. Like, is there another one else? Armageddon, good call. Like, I can't fault you for that. And Steel Magnolias, good call. Is there another, is there another one in there that maybe when you're with your son, you throw in?
Fried Green Tomatoes is like, that's another one. The Notebook. I'm telling you, I'm like a... like a over the top sappy girl. If it's something's gonna make me cry, I'm all in it for win and love and all of that. I'm just I'm a wuss. I am.
Oh, I love the I love the Notebook when he says, you know, that's what we do, we fight. And like, I'm a grown ass man, and I say this to my other friends, like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, I don't know. I love it. I have to say your reputation precedes you, right? So I've been to I cover the Walker Stalker Fest. I've been in Georgia the last 2 years. I didn't go this past year, but everyone that I know that has met you thinks the world of you. Like, they think, I mean, you have made an impression on the Walking Dead community.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, it's a great community to be part of, and everyone I've met has been so kind and so giving and just, you know, have taken to this character and really embraced her. And I, you know, I really appreciate that, you know, because in this world, people come and go and, you know, live and die and survive. And, you know, some people aren't remembered or thought of. And I feel like, you know, every time I have a chance to meet someone and they can recognize the character, even I'm introducing something new to them, I'm just flattered that they're taking the time to talk and say, hey, you know, I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah. And I was reading something where Cooper was talking about his first on-screen kiss and he was talking about his process and this, and I'm like, oh, poor Cooper had to kiss a beautiful girl on screen. Poor Cooper. How did he do it? Like, I'm like, he's crazy. He's crazy. He's talking about the process. Like, boy, it must have been really difficult kissing a beautiful girl on screen. I feel so sorry for him.
Thank you for those kind words. It was a fun time, but it was so interesting because Cooper and I, since day one of coming on, Cooper and I have been like a brother and sister almost. Like, I always like bug him for advice and talk to him, and we're always like snapping at each other or whatever. So when we first read that, we were like, really? Okay. And I think we both went into it like, hey, I was going to eat some onions or he was going to eat something. Because we tried to see who could outdo the person with the worst breath. It's literally, but that's how me and Cooper are. You know, it's literally like a brother and sister. I hate for all the people to be like, oh, man, that's nasty. But, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to say, you know, one of the things that really bothers me is, and I love The Walking Dead like it's a child of mine. I've been there since the beginning. So I feel like I could be a little bit critical. Like, I feel like we've lost Nabila. Like, are you a victim? You probably can't say it, but I feel like you're a victim of the time jump. And I'm like, that better not be. I'm so mad.
Well, I, you know, I can't say, but I will tell you to keep watching because the one thing about The Walking Dead and the amazing showrunners and the writers is just when you start to you start to love someone, they disappear for a little bit, and then sometimes they come back, sometimes they don't, and then you catch this. But when they come back, it's always like this amazing moment that they came back with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Always do that. So I will tell you to keep watching.
Because I'm watching, and I still don't see Heath. He hasn't come back yet, and Sherry hasn't come back yet, and my man crush Morgan, his son Dwayne hasn't come back yet. I don't know. I'm cheering for you. I'm like, she I'm better come you. Back.
Keep cheering. They're here. They will hear you. Hopefully, they will hear you. But I will tell you, keep watching. This season is very interesting. They introduce some new characters, which are great characters, and there's some amazing people. It's funny because every time a new group may come or new people come, there's never an awkward moment. It's always like family. You know?
Right, right. You know, and one of the things I was listening to an interview you had with somebody else earlier, and you really put it very eloquently. You know, people forget, you know, Nabila is obviously a Muslim character. People forget that Avi Nasheed Siddique is also a Muslim American as well in the show. But I think what between your two characters, you're a great character who happens to be Muslim. I think the way you've phrased it is perfect. Like, your likability is not being Muslim. Your likability is being the character you are who happens to be Muslim. Is that a fair way to look
Absolutely.
At that?
Absolutely. Thank you. That is definitely what I want people that watch to see is that she just happens to be kind of like she happens to be a girl, you know. I think they always never cease to amaze me in writing, because they're all about inclusion and everyone belonging and you seeing absolutely everyone.
Right.
And that's, you know, really important for people to see people that look like them or they have something in common with. But I wanted her to be, you know, to be liked and to be viewed. And whether you like her or care for her or don't, you see her as a person. And that, you know, the hijab is just there. And it's part of her personal belief, you know?
I mean, you know, that's so well said. Like, you don't watch a show and that's a really likable Catholic. Like, you never have that happen. Like, yeah.
You never do. No one goes, oh, that's it. You're absolutely right. No one ever says that.
Yeah, so I just thought that's why I'm cheering for your character, because she's funny. She has guts. She's very positive. I don't know, like, if anybody who saw the exchange between you and Ezekiel, they have to know that, like, I mean, there's actors on shows, Walking Dead or otherwise, where you watch an interaction and you're like, eh, you know, that's good. But that was a really powerful moment in the show. It was really just a telling a moment from your character. You know, I thought it was a really great moment. Like, you really know your believability is off the charts, and that's why I hope you don't go anywhere. That's why I'm really worried.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Kari makes it easy. I mean, Kari makes it really easy to be giving with him and to, that was my very, that specific day was the very first day of me on set. And talking with him. We had a couple words before then, but other than that, he's just like that. He makes it fun to come to work and just being around people and laughing and having that, you know, having that interaction with each other really makes it, I guess that's what makes it believable is, you know, even as an actor, looking at Kari Payton on set, I look at him as a leader on set. So it was easy for me to turn around and look at Ezekiel as a king, you know?
Right, right. No, and that was my next question to you, and you answered it. I mean, Kari and, like, just say Cooper, they are off screen. When you watch them on screen, you get the feeling that that's who they are kind of off. I mean, I don't think Kari walks around, you know, commanding a commanding voice, but I think they're both really kind people that you can relate to, you know?
They are. They're both really kind. I've never seen either one of them be mad, especially Cooper. I've never seen Cooper upset at all. And I'm trying to think. I've never. I always laugh because he'll say something sarcastic and I don't read sarcasm really well. Like, I can't tell when you're being sarcastic, and he'll be like, Nadine, I'm being sarcastic. And I'm like, oh, well, that's funny then. You know? So it's, I've never seen them be that way. It's always so much fun. It's always so much fun. That's all I can say is it definitely working with them and being around everyone in our, you know, in our community is a lot of fun.
So as you're building up your wonderful filmography, is there a moment you can recall where you're actually, like, next to a person where you've seen them either on a TV or, you know, watching a movie with your son or whatever, in any kind of situation where you're actually on set with this person, and it's like you kind of have to, you know, I know you're a professional. I'm not, you know, hinting at that, but.
Fangirl, are you asking me?
I'm asking if you have fangirl moments. Yeah.
I will say I was on set once with Dan Fogler from the new Harry Potter movies.
Yes.
And I'm a big, big Harry Potter fan. I mean big, like when me and my kid went to Universal, I rode in the single rider's line so I could ride it a bunch of times without that kind of Harry Potter fan. And so I was on set and kind of, you know, speaking to everyone. I had to stop and go, oh my God, okay. This is okay. So okay, we're good. We're good. And I took a moment and went, okay, all right. And it just so happens he was walking by. I was like, hey, we haven't had a chance to meet yet. And I was like, yeah, okay, all right, yeah. Wow. And after that, it became really natural. But before then, yeah, I was probably like really like, okay, this is going to happen right now. I'm meeting him. It takes me to Harry Potter. I don't know what I was thinking, but yeah.
You know, and I have to say, he's another guy. I mean, I think the only guy that's probably not as nice as he is, like, he's not a very good person, you know, in the show, but he's a really great guy away from the show, is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I think every other guy is pretty much the same, right? Or girl, pretty much the same.
The weird thing is I've probably met Jeffrey. I probably met him twice because I have been in the kingdom and I've been at Hilltop, but I haven't had really interaction with him, with his people.
Right.
And him. So I've only met him at like Comic-Con events and stuff like that, at Walker Stalker events. But other than that, I haven't really had a chance to work with him, but he is still the nicest person and stays and makes sure everyone, he has this way of talking to people where you feel like it's you and him in this complete conversation until it's over. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
He just, he's a really giving human being, but I hate to say it. I don't hate to say it. I love to brag about my people, but everyone's like that. Like everyone.
Yep. 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 And
I haven't met a person yet on set where I've been like, okay, so this actor needs that. I just haven't.
So how do you like the Comic-Con experience? How do you like that? Just interacting with fans? How is that? That must be, I mean, not now because you have a few under your belt, but was that weird for you at first? Was that kind of a just strange experience for you?
Well, Walker Stalker was my very first one.
Wow.
And so I had some smaller ones, but nothing at that level. I was so impressed at the amount of information that the fans knew and studied and looked at, and the amount of creativity that they bring with the costumes. And I was probably more walking around looking than at my booth because I was just so excited about everything and everybody I was seeing. So it's probably something I'm going to probably do a lot more because I really enjoyed meeting everyone. Funny story about that was the first, and you're the only one that has this story.
Great. So
the first 2 days of Walker Stalker, I didn't wear the hijab at all. I just had my regular hair back and people recognized and walked up. Well, Sunday I put on the hijab because it was cold and, I wanted Nabila to be known,
yep,
you know,
yep.
Just to kind of always give one day of just praise and thankfulness for this, you know, and I was able to walk around Comic-Con with a hijab on and nobody knew it was me.
Wow.
I was able to walk booth from booth. And every once in a while, you'd see somebody look up and go, oh, but after that, everything was just, yeah.
Wow.
Around and walk from booth to booth with no problem.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You know, and you hinted at this earlier when you made, you know, you talked about, you know, people seeing the characters first. And I think it's so great how even like we talk about they've added characters who are hearing impaired and I don't, but they're great characters. They're not just like, you know what I'm saying? Like you see, yeah, it's amazing how The Walking Dead does that. They introduce you to these great people who just happen to be, you know, hearing impaired. And it's just, you're kind of in their world for a little bit. And I think that's just such a unique and kind of cool feeling, you know?
And the thing about that is those are awesome people in real life. Angel Theory is like a little sister to me. And she's so awesome. So awesome. And Lauren being able to do, and I mean, I'm blessed to be able to hear and see and to do everything, but to, you know, the talent you have to portray feelings and do so not being able to hear at all. Like it, the magic she has, and the spark that she has in doing that and the talent she has is just, I'm in awe of that all the time.
Yeah. And I think Angel is one and Lauren is the other, correct? So Lauren, I thought she said on The Talking Dead that she does Broadway. I want to say I thought she said she was or just came off a show on Broadway. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I was wondering.
I am not sure because I know she's been busy lately. She's worked on a lot of things. I'm not sure.
But I can't even imagine how difficult that is. Like,
yes, absolutely. Yeah.
My goodness. So, you know, and then I can't leave out, you know, Better Call Saul, fantastic, you know, show. Then again, I mean, you're on this like top show right off the bat. You know, is it kind of tough to process all this at once? Like, is it for you? I mean, you're not starting at like the bottom of the barrel here. You're almost at the other end of the spectrum. Is it tough? I mean, do you feel like your next role has to be, you know, something that's on par with this? Is it put added pressure on you?
I think I'm in awe of what's happening because I'm just so blessed. Like, I have had the benefit of being on some great sets and working with some great people. I do battle with believing, accepting that I deserve it because of the work I put in. But I don't know. It's just, I'm always in awe of like, do I belong here? Is this where, is this happening? Is this, you know? But I think that's also in me just being really grateful for the experience, you know?
Yeah, and you're somebody who seems very grounded. You're very appreciative. Obviously, you have a strong background in acting. So, I mean, that all has to make a difference for you. Is there somebody, I mean, maybe it's your mother, maybe it isn't, that was a mentor for you in the acting arena?
Oh, there's so many. There's so many, especially here in Dallas. And even on the show, just talking everyone, because you create these friendships with these people, and these, you know, these exchanges of energy, and you just, you know, there's so many, they're so hard to name, because I've asked, you know, I've looked to Kari for inspiration, Melissa Cooper, Carrie Cahill, I mean, even Nadia, one of the new people, you know. My family and friends and theater people here, I look at so many things for inspiration. Even, you know, going to Walker Stalker, meeting some of the fans, I'm inspired by them to make sure I do the very best job I can, because they've invested their time. They not only take an hour out of their week to watch this show, but they spend time creating and showing their appreciation for our work. So my job is to show them appreciation. You know how they say, like, government employees are employees of the people. We're employees of the people. Our job is to give you something to, you know, to connect with. And I hopefully will always, you know, with blessings, stay in that mind frame. And I think as long as I'm giving and I continue to know that my work is going to give and be in a giving spirit, then, you know, hopefully I'll continue to, you know, to service well.
Yeah, and that's well said. And I've been at cons with non-Walking Dead actors, with actors who just, you could tell they're miserable, they don't want to be there. And like, you have the opposite attitude. You're like, I love this. You know, you're oozing with just, you're being appreciative. And that is just, when I think fans can see that. Fans aren't stupid. They can see that in you. And they can also see when there's actors who don't want to be there, right? I mean, William Shatner is notorious for not wanting to be at cons. Like, he just doesn't like it. He's just there for a payday. You're there for appreciation of the fans, and they realize that. And I think that makes you that much more likable / lovable.
Well, thank you. I hope to always be able to, you know, I know schedules happen and you're not always able to do things, but if there's ever a chance when I can tell a fan, thank you for taking time out of your day to watch this show and to, you know, to think about, even you taking the time to think about, hey, I hope this character is still with us. You know, that takes time to become invested, you know?
Well, and here's where I get worried. I mean, I'm all over the place here, but like, it's what happened is they're killing off a lot of characters that we've been with for like years. And it, when you say Walking Dead family, it really is, because you see these people at cons, you see them every week, you learn to kind of love them. And I mean that in the nerdiest way, lovable way possible. And it's, and when they go, like, there's a lot of new characters. So like, I am so comfortable with who your character is, I just hope they don't make the wrong decision and decide to make her a victim of the time jump. I would be really disappointed in that. Not because we're conversing now, but because your character has so much potential, what she can do, I don't know, that's where I'm coming from on that.
Well, so, I will tell you this, is I appreciate the walk that I've had with Walking Dead so far. Not saying that there isn't any in the future, but just saying I've appreciated it so much now. And the writers and the creators with giving me a chance to even be seen and shared this character, that no matter what happens to her, I'd be grateful for just the time that I've been there. You know, and I know that they're such talented people that anything that they do in story change is doing to service the story. And as an actor, my job is to service the story.
Right,
and
right.
Sometimes that's with people you love and losing some people you love and not losing some people. So it's just, you know.
But Nadine, isn't that life though, Nadine? You kind of like, you look at your life, right? And a lot of it is evolving and kind of, you know, life unfortunately, we lose the ones we love, right? And we have to kind of adapt and almost reset ourselves and learn to roll with the punches. And that's kind of what The Walking Dead has definitely been this season, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's very lifelike. And I have to ask you, are you somebody when you're on set or if you're talking to a writer or whomever, do you ask a lot of questions? Are you one of those? I'm one of those people. Are you one of those people?
I'm not. I don't really, when I'm on set, I kind of want to be in the scene and in the moment to kind of know what was my before, what's happening now and what's going on. So I don't ask a whole lot of questions. Other than maybe I'll ask if I need to train for anything or is there anything that I need to know that would help me benefit you? Is this the feeling that I'm giving that you wrote? Is this what you wanted? Is this what you wanted to see? Is this how you heard that? But other than that, I'm not. I kind of don't want to. The good thing about this show is if we're not there, I don't know what's happening. Like if I'm not in a scene, I don't know what's happening. I don't know the story of that episode. So when I watch, I'm watching with you guys for the first time on something.
Hmm.
So right. I'm right along with you of what happened. Oh my goodness, that happened. Who did, you know, and the best example of that was last year when Carl died. And I was like, oh, I did not know that was happening. I had no idea that was happening. And I was tweeting live at the time. But just, you know, it keeps it interesting. It definitely keeps it interesting. And they do, you know, no one's off limits. And it makes a very interesting story.
Yeah, and I have to imagine, has this opened up also, you know, Better Call Saul, has that opened up more opportunities for you? I mean, I know you still have to obviously go on casting calls and so forth, auditions, but do you find more people coming to you rather than you have to seek people out? Does that make sense?
It's definitely a benefit to be on The Walking Dead. You have a lot more doors opening and people looking because the show is so big. But I mean, we're still grinding. I'm still working.
Yeah, yeah.
Still searching, but yeah, it's definitely been a blessing. But you know, you still got to do the work. You know, you still got to go out and hunt and look. You know.
Yeah, and so my last question is non-related to acting. I hear you're a huge tea drinker.
I am. I love tea.
So people, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
What were you thinking? Well, one of the. I hate coffee. I can't drink it. So I had to find a substitute, right? Because those energy drinks aren't super great for you. And, like, I had to find a substitute. It's very plain. It doesn't taste great. But I love just a plain black tea. Just, you know, a lot of caffeine.
Oh, my friend. No, you're missing out. Black tea is great. But you are missing out on the world of teas. There are teas that are so great that you don't even need to put sugar in them. They're that good.
Like, give me some names of teas because I'm writing these down.
I was in New York last year and stumbled upon a tea shop called Harney & Sons.
Yep.
And they have a cinnamon spice tea. I have packed this tea from Georgia to LA to everywhere. I have a brewer in my suitcase and my bag of tea. I'm serious about my tea. They have this cinnamon spice tea is the bomb. It's so good. And I'm all for like flavorful teas and tropical teas, especially teas that have like dried fruit in them. Oh yes.
So you don't use the tea bag. You are a person that puts it in.
No.
What is that thing called? It looks like a strainer. You pack it in there.
It's a little plastic brewer. You pour your tea in and then you put your hot water in and let it brew. And then you put it on top of your cup and it drains right into your cup.
And I have to believe that has to taste so much better than out of the silly bag that I've been using the whole time.
It's so good. I'm telling you got to up your tea game.
So if you had one tea and that's it, you're looking at your cinnamon spice tea.
The cinnamon spice tea goes everywhere with me. It goes everywhere.
Does that have a caffeine kick? Like, I need something that just, like, kind of wakes me up in the morning. Will that do it?
It will. Sometimes I'll drink it too late in the evening, and it will and it'll keep me up at night. Because it's a cinnamon. It's a deep cinnamon taste, but it's so good. I order it by the bag. I know those people are like, What is going? Why are we sending all this tea to her? Because I drink it. I mean, all the time.
Is it expensive to get? Was it something that was easy to learn?
I think it's like this big 1 pound bag for like 22 bucks. But it's like a big bag,
right?
I go to their website and order it. I actually am on like their monthly delivery because I go through it a lot. I do.
But is it like, so is it something like doing it the right way, like the way you do it with all the tools involved? Is it hard to learn or is it easy? Is it just
pretty much? It's easy. It's a cup, like it's the brewer. You just lift the top and you can get the brewers from, I mean, anywhere. They have them at Starbucks, or you can get a, you could probably get it from Harney and Sons, or I used to get mine from Teavana. When Teavana was in business, I bought like four of them from Teavana. But you just take a scoop, like two scoops of tea, put your hot water in, let it sit for like 3 minutes, and then put it on top of your cup, and it drains right in there.
Very easy. And I have to say, Nadine, you've been so fun to talk to. Is there anything you wanted to promote, your social media, future projects, anything that you wanted to get out there?
The interesting thing is every time I get some, I always get a job that makes me sign an NDA, so I can't talk about it. The good thing is I always seem to book those jobs. So not right now. I'm just working. If anyone can check me out on Instagram, I believe it at Nadine Marissa. And Instagram is @I_am_NadineMarissa, and Twitter is @NadineMarissa. Facebook is Nadine Marissa. So you can shoot over and send me stuff. I love to reply to fans and let them know what's going on, or, you know, and just talk, see what you guys are thinking. And I like the interaction. It lets me know that, you know, that we're real and we're out here together. So.
No, and real is a great word because it's exactly who you are. You're very, what I think the one refreshing thing, and not that my other guests aren't, but what you see is what you get. And I can tell you, Nadine, it's very appreciative for this side of the microphone.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I am so sorry it took so long for us to do this. I was out of town, but I'm so glad we were able to finally catch up and do it.
Oh, so much fun. And I learned so much. And like we agreed off the air, you're going to send me the secrets for The Walking Dead upcoming second half of the season.
You probably know more than I do. Hopefully I'll get to see your face at a con or a walker stalker and can shake hands and say, oh, put a face with a name, you know?
That would be great. Her name is Nadine Marissa. Nadine, thank you so much. You're such a kind person. Thank you very much. Thank you
so much.